We're hearing music from the film The Devil and Daniel Webster as we stand in our mind's eye at the base of the Pennsylvania State Historical Marker at the intersection of North Bishop Thorpe and Ostrom Streets in Fountain Hill in the Lehigh Valley. The marker reads, Stephen Vincent Benet. This talented author was born here July 22, 1898, died in New York March 13, 1943. John Brown's body and his other poems and stories give vivid expression to the best in American spirit and tradition. The Devil and Daniel Webster is one of his stories. Benet wrote poems, short stories, novels, essays, screenplays, stage plays, radio plays. He was an editor at times as well. We're drawing now on one of his stories from the 30s as we prepare to learn about writers of the 21st century tied to the Lehigh Valley. The story is titled By the Waters of Babylon. Leon Heimowitz summarizes the post-apocalyptic story this way. Before the overkill nightmares of neutron bombs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, and thermonuclear incineration, Stephen Vincent Benet published in 1937 a short work titled By the Waters of Babylon, a rich fantasy, startling in its realistic and imaginative elucidation of present and the possible. The story occurs after the Great Burning, when a fire from the sky had ended our civilization. Against his priest father's instructions, and contrary to the prohibition of the forest people forbidding entry into the dead places, a young man ventured into the city of the dead gods, near the place New York that had survived the ordeal, and was recounting now all that he had observed and experienced to his incredulous father. Amidst the magnificent ruins the young priest had seen, towers, god roads and bridges, strong metals, chariots, magic tools, and strange writings in mysterious books. When they were moved to anger, the gods waged war with weapons that released a poison mist. They turned night into day for their pleasure, built great tunnels under rivers, and flew in the air. With miraculous machines and superb skill, they could do anything. What had gone wrong? How could such a fabulous people fail? The elder priest instructed his son, saying, Truth is a hard deer to hunt. If you eat too much truth at once, you may die of the truth. A priest himself now, the son recognized his father's wisdom and concluded that the truth must come little by little. As the young priest, John, makes his way through the devastation, he repeatedly asks the question, How shall I tell what I saw? More than three times he asks, How shall I tell what I saw? How can I tell what it was like? Upon his return home, his father speaks one word, Tell. I told. He listened, John replies. John wished to tell everything all at once to his people, but his wise father advised the lad to share the stories he had to tell slowly, little by little, so they could be truly heard. All that from a science fiction story by Stephen Vincent Benet, a native of the Lehigh Valley. We might say the question the young priest asks persistently, How shall I tell what I saw, is the very question writers of all kinds of stories might ask. How shall I tell what I saw in my own life, what I saw in my imagination, what I saw in my research? Benet's quester, John, receives advice on how to tell what he saw from his older, wiser, more experienced father, as we've heard. And it's all about telling the story. And as we learn about the Greater Lehigh Valley Writers Group, we'll see that the organization can be helpful in mentoring young writers. in providing an outlet for more seasoned writers, editors, and publishers to share their own experience with others. There are also many chances for writers to read through others' work and offer insights about how well a story or essay is written or what might be stronger. There happen to be members of what's called GLIVWIC, that's their nickname for the Greater Lehigh Valley Writers Group, who are having success right now with science fiction stories. Phil Junta's been envisioning utopian worlds, and Anne Stolinsky is fascinated by time travel and what it might be like. They're doing well in telling what they see in their mind's eye. Science fiction is only one of the many genres supported by the Greater Lehigh Valley Writers Group, assisting their members year-round, with a very special weekend taking place this year in March in Center Valley. We had a chance to spend time on Zoom with Angel Ackerman, president of the group, and Donna Brennan, chair of the 2025 Write Stuff Conference, to learn more. Donna begins with some history.
I think it was in the 80s that a group of four or five people, I'm probably all women, decided they wanted to be writers and they needed to have a group. So they got together and formed a group. And then the group was growing over time. And then I believe in the 90s is when they had the first Write Stuff Conference. And at that time, it was one day. And as the group grew, they had different things. When I joined in late 2008 or 9 or so, I joined a critique group because we had a lot of critique groups joined, and that was really helpful. Shortly after that, the Writer's Cafe started, and the cafe is helpful because that's another critique thing, but that's open to non-members too. And that's how we get a lot of our members is they come to the critique group, they see the benefit of the critique group, and it starts to grow. So we have online events now that we didn't have, you know, way back when. Our meetings are hybrid. People can attend them online or remotely. So as we see more needs, like we had an author advocacy chair who plans things for the authors, like programs, and they do a lot of those programs like in libraries or in senior housing centers and things like that. I think in the last few years since COVID, that's fallen by the wayside a little bit, but you know, we're hoping to do that. We get involved in community events. Angel could probably tell you about a few of those community events. And the conference started out as just one day, and then they started having the Friday night and the Saturday, all day Saturday. And then maybe about 2008 or so, they went to having a Friday workshop as well, because we figured people are there Friday already, just start earlier in the day. And then a year or two later, when I became the conference co-chair, we decided we wanted to have Donald Moss, and we wanted him for more than just one day. So we said Thursday, Friday, and on Saturday. And then since then, we've been Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
The group has always been very membership driven. So everything that the group does is influenced by what the membership needs are at the time. So I joined originally in the late 90s. I've been trying to think about it. And I think I saw something in a newspaper, like the community calendar back in those days, announcing that the group was meeting. And I was curious, so I stopped by. My husband at the time is also a writer. So we would go to meetings together. And that continued until we had our daughter. And at that point, the membership dues, because we are a young, poor couple, the membership dues got to be too expensive for the two of us to go and try to find childcare because it meets monthly. So we started to fall back on that a little bit. And also around that time was when publishing started changing and a lot of the membership was looking into self-publishing and things of that nature. The heyday for me was at the time when Donna's talking about Donald Mass. We also had Jonathan Mayberry before he was popular. He was originally from the Doylestown area. And I remember very fondly the all-day workshops that I spent with him. And he probably had a huge influence on my decisions of how to pursue my various types of writing. Because I've been a journalist for quite some time. I've worked in nonprofit communications. So writing has always been a part of my professional and personal life.
And Donna, when you joined, what kind of writing or what types of writing had you been doing?
I had written some poetry, but I haven't done anything with my poetry. But I was writing short articles. I had a few things published in family magazines for about raising kids and things like that. But I really wanted to write novels. That was like what I really wanted to do. So once I joined GLIVWIC, I started working on that. And it's just so nice to have a group that supports you, you know, that understands you. Because you talk to other people about it, they're like, why do you want to do that? But other authors, they understand, they get it.
You each have been mentioning the fact of the others. Do you find clustering, for example, if you wanted to write novels, Donna, Would you tend to find the novelists in the group?
So the group, we often have a critique group system where people do genre up, or they just kind of group together based on availability. Those have, again, since COVID, have kind of changed format a little bit. We have a writer's cafe that meets every Wednesday night online. That's a group that Donna was talking about that's open to anybody at any time. It's just you sign up and you get assigned to one of the two rooms. You get to read a short excerpt. But when it comes to making those relationships, that kind of depends who you click with more, I think. I want to say socially, but I'm not even sure that's a correct thing. It's probably more of a working styles thing. So that's really influential as well. But what we do to try to prevent everybody from getting too kind of locked off in different groups is we try to divide our monthly programming into different aspects of marketing, writing craft, and then tools so that we get varied programming. So no matter what you write, you have a chance of finding something that appeals to you. And every month, most months, we also have a small workshop after our meeting that anyone can attend for free if they're a member. So you can earn back kind of some of your membership dues in that way as well. So even if you don't click with individual people, now, for instance, I have someone from the group that I meet with every other week at Panera just so that we can write. And she writes clean romance and I write spicy horror. So genre-wise, we don't match at all. But personality-wise, we are perfect for each other. We have busy home lives. It's very chaotic. You probably already heard the dog barking in the background. I have a 20-year-old with ADHD. She is a caregiver for her husband who has stage 4 cancer. So for us to go to Panera and just sit for 2 hours and not have anybody bother us, we don't even talk. We just say hi and then laptops out. And it's the time that we get to work on our own personal projects. And you had seen in some of the notes from before our interview that I have a small publishing company. So I spend most of my time working on other people's stuff. So this is a chance for me to work on my own creative projects and not feel guilty about it.
And Donna, that resonate with you?
I find that it depends on who I sit next to at the meeting, who I eventually become close to. And once I joined the board, I was interacting with more people and I got more involved. I got a lot more friends in the group. Because I remember when I first joined, the first year, I felt like, I don't know these people. I want to belong. And I could tell people enjoyed each other's company, but not until I actually started volunteering. And so I gave a few talks at the group about volunteerism, saying, you know, you're getting something out of it yourself. You're helping other people, but you're getting something out of it yourself when you volunteer.
Let me ask you about numbers. Do you have a sense of the membership roles?
I just sent out an email today. So technically, if you look at our roster, recently lapsed members, active members, pending new members, we're over 200. Now, not all of those people are active. And our memberships in person in the days that Donna and I were talking about earlier, pre-COVID, when things were much more kind of social oriented, we would get 30 to 40 people at a meeting at the library. And the conference in the past would get anywhere from 80 to 120 people, depending on the speaker. Nowadays, the in-person meetings are probably more like 20 to 30 people, which is an increase from when I started as president last year. And then probably another 15 or so on Zoom. So considering the trends of, I want to say community involvement, but like I said, it's more of kind of a hobby group. So maybe community involvement isn't the right word. But with the trends of people not being involved in outside groups, I think that's a pretty respectable number.
We've been talking about members and non-members. What happens when you become a member? What are the perks?
Angel recently gave an excellent talk about membership benefits.
So what we did is because the group has been around for more than 30 years, and I took a lapse of like 10 years, I came back because part of my publisher mission is to create community among all writers and artists. So I thought, well, I really need to get back involved with, we call the group Glivwig. And I said, you really need to get back involved with Glivwig because they're right in your backyard and you can't claim you don't know they exist. You know, you can't have that mission. So when I returned, I saw that some of the membership benefits that used to be the benefits were still the membership, but there were some new ones and then some that weren't quite working the way they used to. So I tried to do some investigation. So every new member should be getting now a new member packet. We just officially approved that as a board a month or two ago. So that's just rolling out that will detail the benefits to people when they join our list. They can join an email loop that allows you to email the group and talk to people and announce your successes, your failures, opportunities that you see. But that is voluntary. That's not something we sign you up for. I and other board members will send out group messages that are like the agendas for the meetings and the information for the conference and things that people should be aware of. Everyone can post their successes to or their books to our website. If you're a member, you don't even really need, I don't believe you need a gatekeeper for that. I did test it and it goes straight onto the website if you follow the direction. We have monthly meetings, except for this summer. We just do business. We don't do July or August meetings. And every meeting we have a little bit of social time with coffee and goodies. And then we have a speaker who speaks for an hour. And then we have that afternoon workshop that I told you about earlier. And like I said, we try to mix up all of those different topics of writing craft, tools, and marketing. And then, of course, you get reduced rates for the conference. The Wednesday night cafe is technically open to anybody. We used to ask in the old days that after three or so meetings of the cafe that you did consider joining, but we no longer kind of push that because it works, you know, so most people end up converting anyway. And then, of course, there's a huge networking aspect that Donna needs some information about something that she knows I know about. Let's say she's buying her own ISBNs and she knows I have a small publishing company and she doesn't know where to start. She can ask me. And pretty much people start to learn who knows what in the group and can approach people for help. And occasionally we announce opportunities, like we'll do group things at the Easton Book Festival, or last year we did the Phillipsburg Comic Con. We got a table there to support because that is a high school event and it's put on by the kids themselves. So we do have a 501c3. So as a 501c3, to buy a table and participate with them was a little bit of a way for us to give back. So anytime one of us hears of an opportunity, we try to share it with the other writers in the group. And we also have a Facebook page that people can talk to each other, but that anyone from the public can also join as long as their profile looks like they have something legitimately to do with writing. We will let them in as long as they seem to be a real human being and be decent. So there's a good mix of actual benefits you get when you pay your membership and then things you can access even for free if you look into the group itself.
The author advocacy, they do programs for authors at other places, and people often bring their books with them to sell their books at those events. So it might be a reading, might be reading part for your stories. We have something that we call Battle of the Books, which three authors have their books there. And then the person who's running it, like the MC person, will ask, you know, to read the beginning of your book. And then the audience votes on which beginning they like best, or like a random page in the middle, and then the ending. And they, you know, then the audience votes. And then during the whole thing, the MC that we used to have all the time, he would like throw out candy to people who answered questions, asked questions, you know. It was nice. And the other thing is the anthology. You have to be a member to be included in the anthology. And that was one of those things, too, that we saw a need when people want to know how to self-publish. So the whole reason why that came about is because one of the board members said, hey, I want to learn more about this self-publishing, or members want to learn more about this self-publishing. Let's have an anthology so we can show people the process for doing the self-publishing. And that's how it started out. Now it's more like, okay, one of the members of the group volunteers to head this project and other people help out, but it's not as much learning anymore as it used to be, but it's still a chance to get published and have credits.
Well, let's get to the conference. What are you excited about in terms of the offerings for us this time around?
Well, one thing, our keynote is also delivering a full Friday workshop. She had several different 1 or 3 hour sessions that she did about backstory and flashbacks and things like that. And she's combining them all together for us for a big in-depth thing about backstory. And so that, I think, will be very interesting, what things to watch out for, what things to include, how to slowly introduce things, not so you don't have an information dump, which too many authors, especially early authors, do that. So that would be great. And then I like to have some marketing. So our Thursday speaker, Michelle Chenworth, she is speaking half a day about self-editing because I was asking people what they want to learn about. People said, gee, self-editing would be a good topic. So she's doing half a day of self-editing, which includes preparing your work to make it easier to do the writing and less self-editing needed at the end. And she also talks about formatting it, how to format it either for publication or how to format it to present it to an agent or editor. So I thought that was very helpful. And then Saturday this year, I always love when Catherine Ramsland speaks. She's like a forensic psychiatrist and she knows so much stuff and she's so interesting and she writes the most wonderful books. And she's going to be our speaker and she's going to be talking a little bit about different things related to psychology or forensics. And so that would be a lot of fun. And then Barry Putt, he does audio drama. And he's also going to be talking about screenwriting. So that should be a lot of fun. We don't often talk about that. We do more about the writing craft or the marketing or things like that. But that was really something that I thought would be good. We try and have a variety for everybody. We have three different tracks. We try and have something at each track that somebody would like. And then also we record everything. So if you can't decide between two, go to one and watch the recording of the other one. You know, so it's a win-win, I think, for everybody.
Do you vary the locations, or have you locked into a space that's really just perfect for the occasion?
This is our first year at the venue where we're going to be at now. We're in the Homewood Suites by Hilton in Central Valley. I'm really happy with the place where this year the rooms are a lot nicer than the rooms we were at last year. So I think it'll be good for everybody.
Did you mention that our keynote was Tiffany Yates Martin? Yeah. Tiffany was recommended to us by Jane Friedman. We've had Jane Friedman speak to our group in the past, and she was not available this year. And I don't know if you know about Jane, but she's very up on all the technologies for writing and marketing and all that stuff. So she's a pretty known name in the field. But I think, Donna, you were involved with getting her the first time, were you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. It was that Donna knew about her before she was really the hot thing that she is today.
Tiffany, she's an editor. She also writes fiction under a pen name. I think it's Phoebe Fox is her pen name. And I was looking online the other day, and she has like about four or five books out under her pen name. She also writes nonfiction about writing. And she has a whole business about doing the editing. And she gives a lot of talks and seminars. People could probably find her online if they want to watch a few of her seminars to see how she presents and what kinds of topics she talks about. But she's very, very knowledgeable, very approachable. And she's very easy to understand.
No matter the genre, writers can benefit from what she has to offer in that way.
Right.
Are many or any of your members talking about, worried about experimenting with AI?
I haven't heard our members talk about that a whole lot, but I do get a lot of people trying to push AI on me. People think that, oh, I just have AI write it and put it up on Amazon. And it's not really quality if you do it that way. I mean, I can see doing your research with AI and refining it and double checking all your facts. But people who think that AI can do their writing, I think they're in for a big disappointment.
Angel, you mentioned that you have a publishing company, Parisian Phoenix Publishing. What are you exploring as a publisher today? And what services can you provide in terms of advice for the group?
Parisian Phoenix has been in existence since 2021, and we started after the pandemic as kind of, I don't want to say a fluke, but I just wanted to put my novels together so that I could give them to my daughter because I just lost a computer and I lost one entire novel except for the one chapter, and I'm almost done rewriting that novel. It's actually the fifth novel in my series. It was supposed to originally be the third, but you know, I'm a writer, so things change. So I'm about ready to finish that one up. And so after I put that together, other people started asking me to help them with their projects. So I did. And 3 years later, we now have 31 books in print, 3 or 4 different imprints, depending how you look at it. And most of my clients are traditionally published authors, so I don't charge them for working with me. We just do royalty deals and all that like a traditional publisher would. And what we try to do is, like I said, we try to build community. We work with fine artists and we have a photographer that we work with. We try to work out deals with editors and whatnot. So we all work together to make the best book we can that suits the author. Because I know I can't promise anyone that we're going to have a commercial success. That's just too hard. But we split our royalties pretty much 50-50 so that the author earns just as much money as I do and we all work hard. The author gets a say in every part of the process. And a lot of what I do with my authors is educational. And a lot of that is stuff that I've learned through shopping my novels in the New York market before I forgot they existed. My daughter was small, like I said, when I started my adventure with the Greater Lehigh Valley Writers Group. And I put the novels on a shelf when the publishing industry was consolidating, when ebooks were coming out, and I literally forgot about them until a friend reminded me. So when I brought them back out, like, it didn't occur to me to try and go back into the New York market. I wasn't even trying to promote them at all. But thanks to everything and the people that I knew, I have enough connections that I could make it happen. My best friend is a graphic designer of 30 years. Her specialty is type. She loves typefaces and she loves to lay out type. So I'm like, book design. And we work really well together. And we always have, like, I can have an idea in my head, tell her three words, and she puts it down on the page without me having to say much. So that's basically how this original project started. And now I have authors from Arizona, from Massachusetts. My latest one is from Oregon. So it's a lot of fun. But that's all because of the courage that I had. And a lot of our members do talk with me about some of their questions of what they'd like to do with their own projects. The friend that I mentioned that I go writing with at Panera, she's actually planning to submit a poetry book to me, hopefully this year. And some people just sometimes like to lean on me for advice, but I take the lessons that I've learned in my business and try to make programming suggestions that will benefit the group when I can.
And Donna, how about you and publishing your own work?
I self-published a collection of short stories, and I have a novel that's been ready to be self-published for quite a few months now, but I keep putting it off because I want to get my email list going first, because I'm, you know, into the marketing end of it too. And I wanted to have that email link inside my book. So I have to get that set up. So I'm a little bit of a procrastinator, but I'm working on it. One thing that Angel made me think of when she's talking about her company, another thing we have at the conference is we have two agents and we have an editor taking appointments. And the editor we have this year, Lawrence Knorr, has been at our conference before, and he has published books from different of our members. And he's very, very open and he's very approachable. So he's a good guy to work with, whether you meet him at our conference or someplace else. That's Lawrence Knorr. And then we have two agents. And what we try to do is try and get a broad span of what the agents cover. You know, someone with a lot of diverse interests, or two different people that kind of complement each other's interests. Like one covers something, the other one doesn't. But Lawrence, what he says in his thing is, this is what I'm interested in, but if I don't list it, then approach me anyway. You know, so he's really good that way.
It just sounds like you've considered so much. And because you're writers yourselves, you know what the needs are and you listen to the membership, as you suggested, Angel, that it's a member-driven organization. And I wanted to make sure you each had a chance to offer some ideas perhaps about the writing world as it is today. What do you say to people who are entering the book world today?
I just wrote an article on this for Hippocampus Magazine, a nonfiction magazine online, and I was talking about making your marketing fit your goals. And I think it's important as people finish up writing that, A, they don't get too hot. Now, this isn't from the article, but first personal advice about the writing portion is to make sure you don't get too hung up on perfection. Because regardless what your project is, you're going to do it better later and you're going to look at it and be a little embarrassed that you didn't do certain things. And I think the young people that I work with have actually taught me that all of our writing is a capturing a moment in time. And we're not trying, like my generation, we went to college, we're English majors, and we wanted to write the great American novel. And now I think it's more about capturing a moment in time. And I like that. I really love that idea. But also, as you move forward, and even as Donna goes forward with her next project, things like you need to know what your personal goals are. So if your goal is you've wanted your whole life to have a Barnes & Noble book signing, then you need to do the things that are going to make that happen. If you want to be financially successful, then you need to look at where you can sell the most books for the least amount of time and effort. If you want to be involved in, like, if you want to use it like a brand book, you need to make sure you get into your market. So I have a dentist who writes business books, and he has a leadership center in Arizona, but he uses his books primarily as training materials and for brand books. Another one of my authors is an oral storyteller. So for him, getting his stories out there and being able to kind of commune with the storytelling people are important. But I had one author come to me, and they just wanted a hardcover book that could be distributed via Ingram and traditional channels so they could get into Barnes & Noble and get a wider reach, because they were self-publishing before. And they made that happen. They were in Barnes & Noble once or twice a month for the entire year last year. But me, I don't like in bookstore book signing because I got to sit there for 4 hours. I would rather do workshops and teach people things and sell my books at the end of the workshop, or hope they sign up for my newsletter and buy. But that's why it's so personal. You can't make huge amounts of money if you're not thinking about what you're good at and how you can serve your own goals without making yourself crazy.
I agree with that, Angel. But also, I think a lot of people think, oh, I can self-publish. I'll just write it and get it out there. I think it's extremely important to learn the craft and do it well. And then it's also extremely important to get it edited, because so many reviews you read about the grammar or about the spelling or the punctuation or something, and you get a few negative reviews and it hurts your sales.
Well, tell us where we can find information about the group and the conference, please.
Both of those are available at glvwg.org. So it's our initials of our group, which is Greater Lehigh Valley Writers Group, and we have an ORG, so you can find all the information on our website.
The dates of the conference, Donna?
March 13th to the 15th.
Angel Ackerman, president of the Greater Lehigh Valley Writers Group, and Donna Brennan, chair of the 2025 Write Stuff Writers Conference, speaking with us about the organization and the upcoming conference, March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Tiffany Yates Martin will be the keynote speaker. There will be 20 sessions and 10 special events. It will take place at the Homewood Suites by Hilton, and that's in Center Valley, PA. The registration closes on February 24th, but you can still try after the 24th of February, and they will take people as space permits. For more information, on their website, GLVWG, and that stands for Greater Lehigh Valley Writers Group, Greater Lehigh Valley Writers Group, glvwg.org. They have many offerings, the Writers Cafe every Wednesday evening by Zoom. Their regular meetings and workshops are held at the Palmer Library in Easton. They meet once a month except for July, August, December, and March. And if you are curious at all, do go to the website. It's full of member success stories, events, facts about the Write Stuff Conference, and more. Again, glvwg.org.